Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Bulwark Live.
Yeah.
I'm JBL, here with my best friends, Sarah Longwell, Timothy Miller, both of the Bulwark. Got some breaking news before we went and sat down. Fox News is reporting we have a caravan of critical race theory teachers coming up across the southern border to confiscate everybody's gas stoves. It's terrible. No, that's not the real. The real news is that Carrie Lake thinks she's going to run for Senate now.
That's
it's
bad.
It's true. And we have more George Santos. So we have to start with George. We have to start with the candy before we have the spinach. So George Santos is in the news again. I've been keeping this. George Santos, the Republican member of Congress. Then we have George DeVolder, who is the businessman with the Ponzi scheme. Then we have Anthony DeVolder, who is just like some dude, evidently. And finally, we have Kitara, the Brazilian drag queen.
Kitara Ravash. Do we have any Portuguese speakers out there? I couldn't understand what the reference was. I know Obrigado, but Kitara Ravash. It has a nice kind of
ring. Do you think she did any story hours?
I think she did some death drops.
Would that be a problem?
She did some death drops, you know?
If she was out there doing some brunches, you know, in the community, yeah. Would that be all right? Anyway, so this is a problem, obviously, because I don't mean this. I'm not laughing about this. So Greg Stube, who is a Florida representative, fell off.
Are you sure you're not laughing about
this?
Definitely not
thoughts
laughing
and
about this one.
Thoughts and prayers. He fell off a 25-foot ladder. Let this be a lesson to all of you. If you are a man who fancies himself as being handy, never go up a ladder higher than 10 feet, ever. You're asking for death. And so this guy's in the ICU, and the Republicans have just very ostentatiously passed the rule rescinding the ability to vote remotely. So you got to, like, get yourself to the floor to vote, which means that the majority's down to 3. And with Santos were to go to be down to 2... And so what's going to happen?
Santos is going to get committee assignments. He already
has.
He's got his two.
Yeah. His committee assignments are, business?
Before we get serious, can we just reflect on something about George, about Kitara Ravash for a second? The first time that George kind of came into our field of vision, we had a podcast, the Next Level podcast, people were listening, and Sarah's observation was that he was handsome.
Did I say that?
Wondering if you've kind of reflected upon that at all or changed your view, or
you know
if you're
what's
type,
so annoying
kind
is
of
like you came with
type.
This in the can, like you knew you were gonna throw that at me.
I don't even
remember saying it. It was weird.
You don't remember saying it?
First of all, how much I like a quarter zip sweater vest. It's just like he looks like a priest, like an off.
I mean,
there are a lot of gay priests,
in fairness. The shoe fits, right?
Yeah. To me, I will just say, it is very unfortunate that the first gay, openly gay, elected Republican is him. It's not great for the movement, yeah.
No.
Oh, your people, Tim. So, I mean, I'm not keeping score at home, really, but no Pulse nightclub deaths, no Holocaust deaths in the family, not actually Jewish. Mom did not die in 9/11, not a wealthy businessman, didn't go to Brook College, did not play volleyball.
Hold on.
He was a striker. He was a striker at Baruch College.
Yeah,
this is the most amazing one. Imagine being like, okay, I'm going to make up a new identity out of whole cloth to make myself sound awesome. And my story is going to be, I played volleyball.
A striker.
I mean, I don't know what position that is in volleyball. Maybe it's a cool position, but like...
Can he jump? The striker, I think, has some vertical.
I don't know anything about volleyball.
Anyway, it's It's a mess. But here's my question. So the only thing which is going to drag him out of Congress, I assume, is criminal wrongdoing, right? So it's mostly about where did the $700,000 come from. Do we think that Kevbo is going to slow roll any attempt to actually find that out because he needs to have the vote?
Oh, yeah, of course. No, he's going to be there. Is there any difference between him and, like, Louis Gohmert, really? I don't know.
Gosar,
yeah, I mean, we're spending a lot of time on him. There's 435 of them. There are a lot of jokers in there. And so, he's going to continue to be there. He absolutely needs, McCarthy needs the vote. And, like, what is the impetus for getting rid of him? I like to zag on this one. Santos, by the way, I mean, he's got brass balls. Okay, like every time he walks down the hallway, every camera is following him everywhere. I mean, everyone in his life knows that he's full of shit and knows that he's a liar. He stole a dead man's check in order to buy shoes. Like he hasn't paid multiple people rent still.
He took money from a war dog.
He took money from a war dog. He's on TV every minute. And the dude is just, dude will not.
You know what? Like, I'll take one
even
step forward.
Shame. Nothing.
I think he likes it.
I don't think so.
I think he gets off on it.
I don't think so.
Like, you know, you're like, oh, he's really stealing himself. I don't want to think so. He's like Buffalo Bill in front of the mirror.
Here's the problem. I mean,
I don't. Is that like a 70s reference? Like a Dirk Diggler? I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about.
Could you update me?
Right?
Weirdly, like the whole audience got it.
All right, so let's get a little more serious. We have the committee assignments.
Here's the problem. The one thing about Santos I just want to say is, like, nobody's going to get rid of him. Like, he will do whatever McCarthy wants, right? Because he is so, he himself now is like, nobody will talk to him. He doesn't have any friends. The best side story of the McCarthy speaker vote was all of the pictures of him, like, alone or, like, trying to hang out with Marjorie Taylor Greene because she's the other weirdo that people don't like that much. And so he will be like a lapdog vote. So nobody's
spending a lot of time with Matt Gaetz. I think he might be his son. We're sitting next to each other.
Well, his big media appearance was he went on the Steve Bannon show while it was being guest hosted
by Matt Gaetz.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Nice.
All right, but so we got the rest of the committee assignments.
Who the fuck cares? Honestly, who the fuck cares? He's on the small business committee. It doesn't matter. Like, he's one vote. The more concerning thing about the committees, if we can move off of the candy.
Also on the science, space, and technology.
Yeah, very important.
Discovered time travel, guys!
He might have oversight over whether we move to permanent daylight savings time, which is an important matter. If he's on my side, I might be a pro DeVolder after that. But like the other committee assignments are the meaningful ones, right? Like I feel like Santos in some ways has blocking out the sun of like the influence that the Marjorie Taylor Greens of the world in particular, you know, are going to have over some very consequential, you know, matters. I, like you have Marge who thought 9/11 was fake on the Homeland Security Committee.
Yeah.
Like, that's a little concerning, right? You have Chip Roy and the goatee and, like, grab-ass Jim Jordan. Like, they're going to be our two negotiators over whether the country defaults on the debt. Like, the fact that Paul Gosar, you know, who is an active, you know, white nationalist collaborator, is going to be on these committees. Scott Perry, right?
And they're on oversight.
Right, yeah, they're on oversight. Like, so Scott Perry, who engineered the coup at the DOJ, I mean, like, yes, Scott Perry was the key member of the DOJ coup of putting, what was the guy's name? The really nerdy guy that has an egghead. He was trying to make Jeffrey Clark. Like, it was Scott Perry that was trying to put Jeffrey Clark in and that was actively advocating for that. He is going to be the one that is doing the oversight of the oversight of the January 6th thing. Like, all of that is way more important than George Santos, who, like, can't even get his pants on in the morning. He doesn't matter.
I would say this. Thank this is, you know, I mean, 2 weeks ago, our friend Ross Douthat wrote that,
it's going to be an endorsement.
The pre-Trump Republican Party was back. And then yesterday in the New York Times, we had the headline, right-wing Trump allies win seats on oversight, reflecting GOP priorities. And I was like, Ross, this fucking guy. practically speaking, despite the fact that it's outrageous to have somebody who wants to defund the FBI, well, you know, I thought they were the Law and Order Party. Despite the fact you have people who want to defund the FBI running, like, Homeland Security, practically speaking, does any of it matter? Because nothing's going to pass, right?
Yes.
Yes? Why? Tell me what's going to happen.
Well, the stuff that Kevin gave away, like the oversight elements of it, that it really does matter. And you can imagine a hypothetical other world where the Gosars and the Perrys of the world are given the Santos committee assignments. You know, they're on the daylight savings time beat, right? And you have responsible adults who are on the oversight beat, and you have responsible adults who are dealing with negotiating with the Biden administration on, you know, how we're going to deal with the debt ceiling, et cetera. So, I mean, I think that the fact that the terrorists are in charge of the full faith and credit of the United States is like pretty meaningful. I mean, I guess it doesn't matter in the sense of, oh, if you want, we're hoping for like grand bipartisanship and great deals between, you know, John Boehner and Obama and Favreau, and like they're going to come together and do Simpson Bowls. Like, you know, that was never going to happen. But like, there still would have been a meaningful difference between Kevin putting, you know, Patrick McHenry in charge of oversight and like insane insurrectionists in charge of oversight.
But here's the thing. So Marjorie Taylor Greene negotiated oversight, right? Like that was part of her demand of Kevin. She wanted that committee. And like, I don't know, let them have it. They are going to be front and center. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, and who's the other weirdo on oversight now? Is it Gosar or Gohmert?
Gosar and Perry.
Gosar and, okay, so like, let them be the face of the Republican Party while they're leading. Here's the thing. One of the things that, listening to voters have been the same with every impeachment, every investigation. They always think they're a waste of time and they're not focusing on like the real issues that people care about. With a bunch of clowns in charge with the front of the cameras, I think that's really bad for Republicans.
This is the mindset that got you the Anthony Weiner laptop. Right? Like these fuckers did Benghazi for years and years and years, and like that's how they found the Hillary email, and that's how you end up with like Anthony Weiner's dick like giving us Donald Trump in 2016. Like you don't really know like what could come out of these oversight things. We don't really know. It's not like Hunter was exactly an upright citizen. We don't exactly know what him and Joe.
But any Republican, that would have come out with any Republican, right? So any Republican that's leading oversight was going to find the same things. And in fact, serious people might find more serious things. Clowns are going to be clowns. And I think make the whole thing look less serious.
Well, so this assumes, I would say, that this pushes into a tension here, right? Which is that most voters never hear about these things and don't care about them. So I have a feeling 6 months from now, you're going to be doing a focus group. You're going to say, what do you think about this blah, blah, blah committee and their investigation being run by Marjorie Taylor Greene? And the people in your focus group are going to go, huh?
That's
right?
Not and a nice imitation of the people.
I'm sorry.
The great people of the United States of America.
Wow. What sort of investigations are you talking about, Ms. Longwell? So I do worry, because this is, I mean, again, this seems like the kind, you know, what was that thing we had?
Kind of an upmarket version of your usual accent. Just like kind of a country lawyer versus like a yokel.
We used to, you know, like with the special counsels, the independent prosecutors. When it's a Democrat being investigated, you have to have a Republican to prove that you're straight. When it's a Republican being investigated, you have to have a Republican to prove that you're being straight. Like, why do we assume that these overreaches will hurt Republicans? They seem to only hurt Democrats, right? When Democrats overreach somehow in Congress, Fox does like 98 hours of straight coverage on gas stoves. And, you know, who's to say that this stuff is really going to help or hurt the Dems? Or the Republicans, rather.
So I have this theory that I think we probably talked about because we talk all the time. About how the Republican, right, the voters, a lot, especially swing voters, have an impression of the Republican Party that I call the Reagan hangover, which is that they still see, and this is why when you get poll questions where they ask things like, you know, who do you think would take better care of the economy? Who do you think is better on foreign policy? And Republicans really outperform, and that's because they're running on this image. Did you just drink my drink? God damn it. They're running on this. Somebody bring Tim a drink.
Someone bring me a drink.
They're running on this image, right, that is no longer the case. And part of what the work that I do politically has been about is showing people that this is not the pre-Trump Republican Party. This is not Ronald Reagan's Republican Party. These are not responsible people. And I think that, you know, I take Tim's point that these are serious jobs and it's not good to have, you know, ridiculous, terrible people in charge of them. That being said, there is something more honest about, you know, keeping Marjorie Taylor Greene sort of confined to Bannon's war room. is helpful to, you know, because swing voters don't see that. Nobody sees it. And so I think having them front and center, letting people see what the Republican Party has become is an important exercise. It's important for people to understand where we are now.
I'll just say briefly that this is the thing you're the most wrong about, JPL. Like, the Republican overreach did hurt Republicans. It's the whole reason that Chuck Schumer is the Senate majority leader right now, is that the Republicans nominated lunatics and insane people. And Republicans do get punished for their overreach. If Republicans weren't punished for their overreach, like, Kevin McCarthy would have a big majority, and Anthony DeVolder wouldn't be in Congress, and it wouldn't have any committee assignments.
They weren't punished for Benghazi, right? I mean, they might get punished for nominating extremist candidates, but for, like, governing overreach? Are they punished?
I mean, they were punished in 18 and 14.
Sure. All right. Well, maybe. We'll see. I mean, I don't know that we sell a Tim is Always Right t-shirt. So if I was putting odds on it, I'd probably put the odds on me. All right, so can we talk?
I don't see any of your t-shirts out there. So they're not selling like hotcakes.
Oh, hello.
There's one.
Hello.
Okay, wait, who is it?
There's always the one.
Yeah, it is JVL, killer. Yes. Come on, go home, dude.
Sir, I'm buying you a drink once this is over. You can even have a Xanax of mine.
That was my French Village guy, too. This is a guy who watched all of the French Village and listened to all of the podcast.
All right, so can we talk about 2024? I think that's what the people want to hear, right?
Yeah.
Hey there, this is JVL. To hear the rest of the show, come and join us and become a member of Bulwark Plus.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.